Last time, we were sort of in the middle of discussing the question of Zrika Kain, Zrika Mishtaberes. So there were a number of details that we went through. The point that the Gemara left us with was the following, that if something is at least a little bit Kain Panim, the way they did it inside in the Mikdash for the Avodah, then when you do that to Avodah Zarah, so it becomes, regardless of whether it is, well, whether it's Kedak or not, that was a little bit complicated. But when you do that to Avodah Zarah, if something is to become Tikroves Avodah Zarah and permanently Usur, it has to be Ke'ein Pnim. If it is not Ke'ein Pnim, even if it's the normal way to worship that Avodah Zarah, for example, throwing stones at a mercury. So throwing stones at a mercury, if the stones themselves did not become part of the mercury, as the Gemara just suggested, then the stones would be Mutar Pahana'ah. Some Rishonim said you have to be Mevatel them, but most Rishonim assume that if it was a Tikroves Avodah the Zara, but it's not Tikroves officially because it wasn't Ke'ein Panim, it's not similar to what they did in the Mikdash, so then there would be no Isser whatsoever on those stones. The only reason... What?
Yechai Misa for throwing those stones.
Yeah, Yechai Misa for throwing the stones, that's a separate question. In other words, you can be Yechai Misa for worshipping an Avodah Zarah, and yet things don't become Asur Banah. Going back to just a simple case, if you worship the mountain, if you worship the Har, so the Har doesn't become Asur Banah, but you are Yechai Misa for worshipping the mountain. So the Gemara had said that the reason why the stones of the mercury are usur, as the Mishnah that opens our perek, and we're still on that Mishnah, had suggested, is because when people throw the stones at the mercury, the intent is that they become part of the mercury. So minimally speaking, the next time someone worships the mercury, that stone itself is worshipped, leading the Gemara, of course, to ask, but what about the last stone you throw to the mercury? Because the last stone that you threw to the mercury, if you assume that an Avodah Zarah of a guy, it does not become Asur Panah until it's worshipped, so then the last stone you throw to the mercury, in fact, should be Mutar Panah, to which the Gemara gave one of two possible answers. One answer is, yes, go figure out which stone it was. And the second answer was that the person's intent, when he throws the stone, is to both make it part of the mercury and worship it at the same time with itself, and therefore even the stone itself becomes part of the Avodah Zarah and then gets worshipped with itself, throwing of itself, and that's why it's Asur Bahana as soon as the guy has thrown it. That's where we left off last week, and we were up to the fourth to last narrow line on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph in the narrow lines in the Gemara. So we pick up with Tanan. Now the last question the Gemara has about this. Tanan, Matza Barosho Ksus O Ma'os O Kalim, Hare Elim Utarim. This Mishnah is on the next Amud, so we will, God willing, get there later this morning. So the Mishnah says that if you find an Avodah Zarah, Ksus, clothing, Ma'os, money, or Kalim, what?
The head, Barosho, the head of the Mutarim.
Yeah, somebody on top of it. Barosho doesn't do it, and on top, so he puts down on top of the Avodah Zarah. Okay. They put this stuff down. Salach is Hare Elim Utarim. So if it is grapes, or literally, I guess you call it crowns of stalks, I guess whatever you call those, you know,
wreaths,
thank you. Wreaths made of stalks of grain, vienos, wine, shmanim, oil, and slasos, flour. Anything else that would be brought on the Mizbeach is Asur. So the Gemara says as follows. Now, why the Ma'os, Ksus, and Kalim are Mutar, the Gemara is going to have to explain on the next Amud. But the one thing you can say about them is they're certainly not Ke'in Pnim. In other words, Ma'os, Ksus, and Kalim are not going to be Tikroves Avodah Zarah, and even if they were intended as Tikroves. Nonetheless, they would not constitute Tikroves Avodah Zarah because there's nothing Ke'ein Panim. However, the foods, at least, the things that the Mishnah says are Asur, some of them at least make sense. Bishlama Yeno Shemano Muslasos, Ika Ke'ein Panim. Firstly, it's like inside that which is done inside the Heichal. The wine, oil, and flour, as we read today in the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh, were part of the Nesachim, Ushlosha Sronim Soles Mincha B'lulav HaShemen, and then V'nizkehem Chatzi Ahin, Yaparos Lishus Ahin, Revis Ahin Yayin, Revis Ahin Lakeves Yayin. So you have Yayin, you have Shemen, you have Soles, so that we understand why it's A, Kain Panim, and B, if you pour them out, it's Kain Zrika Mishtaberes. The things break into pieces. However, el parachile anavim v'ator shoshibalim lo ke'im penemika v'lo ke'im zrika mishtamerisika. They're neither brought inside, nor are they, even if they were put down to the avodah zarah tikroves, they don't like break up. So it's not at all ke'ein penim. It's not only, in other words, it's not zrika mishtaberis. It's not ke'ein penim, and it's not zrika mishtaberis.
How about like bikurim? How would bikurim work?
That was pretty good. So that's the suggestion. So the truth is, let's read one little line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Amar Rava, Amar Ula kegon shebitzaran mitchila lekach." That initially, when you harvested these things, you did it l'shem avodah zarah. Rashi writes, if you look, shebitzara mitchila, litzara chavodas kochavim. In other words, when you harvest it from the ground, when you bobotzer the grapes, there are different terms in halacha, in Hebrew, for each of the different things that you harvest. There are a whole bunch of things. You are kotzer, grain, tfua, you are mosek, zesim, you are ore, te'enim, you are goder, tamarim, and you are botzer anavim. It's a brisa in Shabbos, and when they talk about the malachas, those are all forms of cutting. They just use different verbs for them. So betzara mitchila refers to the grapes. Rashi again writes letzara chavodas kochav. Now, why is that? Why has that changed things? That's very nice. But you're not worshiping the grapes. You're not making them out of avodah zarah. So Rashi says ubibitzi rusan of the lavodas kochavim the have keshavar makel lefaneh de damel isvicha, because you designate it, you're going to use it for the avodah zarah at the time you harvest it already. When you break it from the ground, that's like zrika mishtaberis. I think the Ran suggests that rather it's not like this, but rather that it's like the bikurim. If you think about the way the Mishnah describes bikurim, and it's not the only way to be mafresh bikurim, but it's the ideal way to be mafresh bikurim. When you see that your fields are starting to produce fruit, you go down, and when you see the first fruits that blossom, even though they're not fully fruit yet, but they're just starting, so you go and you tie a little bit around it to know that this is like the first of the fruits. Again, it's not ma'akev. If you let all the fruits grow and now you can go to your field and you can pick whatever the proportion you're going to bring for Bikurim is. But in the ideal world, you're eagerly awaiting that first fruit, so when you mark it, and then when you harvest it, that's harvested and that's designated as Bikurim then. So that's another possibility. So that's why it's a little bit, in this case, ke'ein penim.
Didn't we learn by with worshiping the mountain that if you're not in eyeshot of the mountain, that what you're doing isn't... Because here, he's not doing...
We have a good memory, but that's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. That's a very...
Yeah, because over here, it's not being done in front of the... it says it's not lifting out.
So we can say that the way Rashi says and the way Tosus doesn't like Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, I wouldn't even remember that, except for I was chazering because one of the Rishonim refers to something back there. But it seems that Rashi and Tosus do not like Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. So I know what Rabbeinu Tam would say, but they would say it doesn't matter. You don't have to have the mountain in front of you. And that doesn't make any difference. Rabbeinu Tam claimed that when the Gemara in Chulin distinguishes between, we learned this a while back, but distinguishes between worshipping Saro Shalhar and Har. When you shecht l'Saro Shalhar versus shechting l'Shem Har, and then if you shecht l'Shem Saro Shalhar, it's Aser. If you shecht the animal l'Shem Har, the animal itself is Mutter. Either way, the worshippers chayiv misa. So, Rabbeinu Tam made a claim that no. Rabbeinu Tam claimed no. If it was really avodah zarah, then the behemoth would be aser. And Rashi and Tosfos say no. They say that when you worship something, when you do a tikrovis, there's something that's mechuber lekarka. It's exeris hakosav. It doesn't become tikrovis avodah zarah. You're chayiv misa for worshiping it. It's avodah zarah. But the behemoth doesn't become tikrovis avodah zarah. So, anyway, so that's what I think Rashi would say. Rashi certainly would not have an issue there. If you had to hold like Rabbeinu Tam, you might have to say something like the Bikurim, so then you're doing it right then and there. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. It's a separate topic, but it does raise a little bit of concerns of how it relates to what came before. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochan, the last word on the third wide line. Minayin lezoveach behim abalas mum lavodas kochavim shupater. This is really interesting. Someone who shechts an animal, which is a balmum, to avodah zarah, how do you know that the person is potter? So this is a really astounding statement. It's not just that the animal itself is an asur bahana, it's that the person is in chayiv misa. So the answer, the makor, the source of the Gemara cites is shenemar, zoveach lo Elohim yocharam bilti lashem levado, lo asra Torah elok ein penim. Now, I think one has to start with a given assumption here, is that it's not the norm of this avodah zarah to bring Bali Mumin to the avodah zarah and shech them. Because if that's the case, of course you're chayiv. You're chayiv like worshipping any avodah zarah, that it's the normal way to worship. You have to assume that it's not normal, and not generally considered appropriate to worship this Avodah Zarah with a Baal Mum, which, generally speaking, most worshippers don't think it appropriate to worship their God with a Baal Mum.
But you need both. You need Kain Panim, and the Avodah Zarah should say this is the way they
worship. No. If you had an Avodah Zarah which was darko to worship, to bring Baalei Mumim to it and Shechlem, so you'd be chai misa for worshipping it. You could argue that the Tikroves isn't, that the behemoth is not Asura, because it's not Kain Panim. Even though it shouldn't be any worse than Shechting a Chagav, right? Shechting the grasshopper. Which Tosafos grapples with this problem. I'm not going to go into it, but let's just say that, but the Gemara doesn't say that Shehumutar, it says Shupater. So it's talking about the person who does the Zvicha. He's not chai because, number one, it's not normal to worship this Avodah Zarah that way. Number two, that's not Kain Panim, because Kain Panim, in the Mikdash, you wouldn't bring a Baal Mum either. So the Gemara says the following. Havi bar Rava. Rava was thinking about this. Bamai, what type of a mum is this? I lema bedukin sheba'ayin. Dukin sheba'ayin are something like a cataract. Some mum in the eye, which is very odd, actually, because the dukin sheba'ayin, there are three categories of mum when you deal with a behemoth that's a karban. Category number one is a mechusar aver. The animal is missing a limb entirely. And when you're missing a limb, obviously you can't bring the animal as a karban, nor is a goy permitted to bring that on a bama l'Hashem. You don't bring a mechusar aver. Number two is a regular mum. A real mum, but it's not actually missing the limb. And there, the halacha is that it may not be brought as a carbon in the mikdash, it's possible, but a goy would bring that on a bama l'Hashem. The third category is called dukin sheba'ayin. Dukin sheba'ayin is kind of a quasi-mum. It's a mum that you're not really allowed to bring the animal, but it is sufficiently not a mum so that there are those tanaim who believe that if you shechted a baal mum, which only had dukin sheba'ayin as its mum, and they brought the flesh up on the mizbeach, and then somebody realized that the animal is no good, that this is in the category of what we call im olu lo yeridu. In other words, the Gemara in Zvachim has a whole sugya talking about you're not allowed. There are all sorts of things you're not allowed to bring as a carbon on the mizbeach. So, for example, you're not allowed to bring a deer. Right? Bring a deer into the mikdash, right? You can't bring this a carbon. If you shecht it and you bring it up on the mizbeach, you take it down. You don't say that once it's been put on the mizbeach, you know, the mizbeach sort of grabs a hold of it, it's collated. No, you take the deer down because it's an alu yeridu. If you bring up a real baal mum, the same thing is true. But Rabbi Akiva, I believe, it's the one who holds, I could be mistaken, that by dukin sheba'ayin, no. Dukin sheba'ayin, if the mum was slight enough, well, of course, you're not allowed to bring the animal as a carbon. I imagine it's also, you don't fulfill your chiyuv, nonetheless, im Allah lo yered. If it goes up, then you don't bring it down. So those are sort of the three categories of mumin. Dukin sheba'ayin, which is a mum, but im Allah lo yered, according to some. A regular mum, which is im Allah yered, and it's pasul, but a benoach can bring it on a bama. And finally, Mechusar Eiver, which is possibly even from Ben Noach. And in addition, there's one other distinction. By an oaf, by a bird, which is brought as a karban, the Gemara says that there's a requirement of Tamus Vizachrus Bebehema by an Ola, and you don't have a requirement of Tamus Vizachrus by an oaf. Tamus means being Tomim, being without a mum, and Zachar, being male. All Korbanos Ola had to be male. So that requirement doesn't exist by a bird. When you bring a bird as an Ola, and I presume a bird is a Chantas as well, it can be Zachar or Nekeva. And number two, it can be a Baal Mum, as long as it's not a Mechusa Eiver. In other words, the standard of that which invalidates a bird as a Karban is much lower than which invalidates an animal. So the Gemara now just said that if you're Zoveach, Behema Balasmul of others Kochavim is Patur. So Rava was wondering, Havi Barava, Bamai, Ilema Baduken Sheva'ayin, if you want to say that someone is Patur because they shechted it a Baal Mum, and that's not Kain Panim, but Hashtel of Neinoah Chazir Lagavoa Babama Ditu, Lavodas Kochavim Iboi. So Rav Benoach is allowed to bring such an animal on his bama, so why would you say, if you shecht it, in other words, yes, there's a kind of mum here, but that's not the kind of mum that renders something not zvicha. A Benoach can bring it that way, and if that's the case, we would say that this is regular zvicha, this is called Kain Panim. Now, if you do zvicha on a bama, yeah, that's called Kain Zvicha of inside. If it's kosher on the bama, then it doesn't matter that this specific thing wouldn't be kosher inside. That is called one of the three, or the four avodos. Ela b'mechusar eiver. Uch the Rabbi Elazar, the Amr Rabbi Elazar, minayim l'mechusar eiver shu asur l'vnei Noach. I will read the Gemara in a moment. But no, it's a case where you bring a mechusar eiver. Yifshech the mechusar eiver, l'avodah zarah, because a guy can't bring that on a bama. Therefore, it's not considered, you know, ke'ein panim. So the only thing that bothers me about this is, why does the Gemara choose Dukan Shabayin here? In other words, really, the category that you want to go to is in between. For a Benoach on a Bama, the only thing that is possible is a Mamish Shemuchusayiv. It's got to be missing the entire limb. If the ear is you know, it's Saram Ozno, if it's got a major damage to its ear or some other type of thing, so a Benoach can bring that. So why does the Gemara suggest that in order to find the case, and as why do they pick Dukan Shabayin? Why do they say Ilema Dukan Shabayin? They said Ilema a regular mum. Right? It sounds from the Gemara, at least in the first part, that the only time we're going to say that Yochai, if a Shechti Ba Mum, Lavo de Zara, is if it was a mum of Dukan Shabayin. But according to the Maskana of the Gemara, every mum that it has, you're going to be Chai, if a Shechti in the animal, unless it happens to be Mechusar Eiver. So I don't know why the Gemara chooses sort of polar opposites in this particular example. The Gemara, by the way, does the same thing. We've learned this Gemara already. If it's not familiar to you, don't remember we had learned it either, except for I looked in the Masoras HaShas. And more importantly, if you look in Tosos, the bottom Tosos on the page, Minayin L'Mechusar Eiver, Perashti B'Perakama V'Chol HaSugya, because the entire thing is there as well. So it's just Chazara now. For some of us, including myself, it feels like almost learning it new when I prepared it. So anyway, now the Gemara is going to go on to demonstrate how do you know that a Benoach is not allowed to bring a Mechusar Eiver. In this particular case, the proof of the Gemara is actually ultimately going to revolve around the fact that Noach couldn't bring a Mechusar Eiver. So the Gemara says as follows. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, Minayin L'Mechusar Eiver Shu Asa L'Vnei Noach, Shenemar, U'Mikol Hachai, Mikol Basar, Shnayim Mikol. So the Torah says, U'Mikol Hachai, Mikol Basar. Amra Torah, Havei Behema, now why do you have to say Mikol Hachai? Just say Mikol Basar. Havei Behema, Shechayin Rashi Evarim Shelah. No, it has to be not only basar, an animal, it's got to be mikol hachai. All of its limbs have to be living. All of them have to be intact. And that's how you know that, and since we know why, what was one of the reasons that Noah brought animals into the Teva, other than the preservation of the species, was so that when he came out of the Teva, he could bring a carbon. So the Gemara says, wait, but a mikol hachai mi boy le'lemute trefa. So the Gemara says, no. Before you get to the question of a Baal Mum, there was something of greater defect. But it was a greater defect that the Torah had to exclude, which is to exclude a trefa, an animal that cannot survive long term.
Greater defect, so why not just exclude the lesser defect and you'll know the greater defect?
So the answer is because when you darshan the pasuk, and the pasuk isn't explicit, you have to always take the minimal approach. Because tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mo tafasta. In other words, the Gemara always has this. When I have a reboy for something, so if I have one reboy, I always learn the lesser chiddush. Unless it's explicit. As a reboy means there's an extra word. So I'm including things misvara. So I always have to assume the minimal position. If I find a second reboy, I can go to the second level. So here, if I only have one pasuk, and I have a choice of saying that Noach was commanded either to not bring Bali Mumin or to not bring Trefa, so we're going to say it was to not bring Trefa, because that's a bigger, you know, that's more obvious, right? Because a Trefa is not only defective, but it also can't reproduce. So if I only had one pasuk, that's why I would have said, because a Mechusar Eiver can reproduce. Right. That's not a problem. Depending on whether you hold, like, you know, of Lamarckian evolution or not, whether or not the Vlad will have Mechusar Eiver, so that will depend upon that. But nonetheless, a Mechusar Eiver is capable of reproducing. Fine. So now the Gemara says, no, milachayo zeranafka. Trefa, milachayo zeranafka. How do you learn trefa? You learn it from the pasuk, Noach was told to bring the animals, lachayos zera al penecha la'aret. So before you read the next line in the Gemara, it's useful to realize that there was an assumption in this answer. The assumption in the answer is that a trefa is incapable of reproducing. So there is a machlokas, whether or not trefa can survive. trefa chaya, trefa ena chaya. And there's also machlokas when the trefa is yoledes or trefa is ena yoledes. I'm pretty sure we paskin trefa is not yoledes. Why does this matter? Is this a debate about biology? So it's not at all a debate. Neither is a debate about biology. The debate about whether trefa chaya and trefa ena chaya, and whether a trefa is yoledes or not yoledes, both relate to the same question, which is, what if you have something that's a safek trefa, but it survives 12 months after the incident? Or, if it's a bird, let's say, and after the incident has clearly passed, it now, at least a few days later, it lays an egg. Right? So basically, this animal lived, this animal was yoledes, so the question is, does that prove that it's not a trefa? So if you believe that trefa ain't a chaya, the fact that the animal, let's say, I think one of the examples of an animal falls off a high building, so we're afraid that it's called a merusak evarim, you know, whether it says damage to an internal, you know, injuries. So in some cases, I don't know if that's the case, what we say, if the animal survives 12 months from the fall, so we would say, if you hold trefa in a chaya, that's proof that the animal actually didn't become a trefa in the process. Whereas, if the animal died, well, it died. You never really know whether it died of that or other causes. So the same thing would be true with, let's say, a chicken, and you were concerned whether the chicken became a trefa, and then a few days later, when it would have been a completely new cycle, the chicken laid an egg. So if you believe that trefa ain't a yoledes, so then the fact that this chicken gave birth demonstrates to you that whatever happened earlier did not render it a trefa. There's a very interesting Ramban. The Ramban, I mentioned this before probably, the Ramban in Chulin, in the beginning of the third parak of Elu Trefos, is very often cited in the world of the Beis Medrash. The Ramban says, there's no such thing as a machlokas and metzias. There's no such thing as machlokas in the Gemara, which really revolves around realia. It always has to be in svar or something like that. So the truth is, the Ramban doesn't say that. The Ramban says something else. What the Ramban says is that it's you don't normally have a machlokas by something which you can easily verify by experiment. I mean, something which is readily observable. So he asks why. He asks the question, how can there be a machlokas for the trefa chaya, trefa nechaya, just do an experiment? So the Ramban says, no. They said they did an experiment. The problem is the following. They took a bunch of animals that were trefa. They put them in a, you know, they kept them separate for 12 months, and all the animals died. So the mandamar that said trefa nechaya said, you see, they all died. And the man down there that said trefa chaya said, yeah, these ones died, but if you took another 100 animals, maybe one of them would survive. So, in other words, it's not an easy experiment to do. So, be that as it may, so the Gemara says that you learn trefa from a hachayozer nafka. So the Gemara immediately says, so we use me kol hachay, we use mila hachayozera, Sam, to teach you the lesser chiddush, namely something that will reproduce. That's not going to exclude a mechusar aver. Mechusar aver can reproduce, but it will exclude a trefa which can't reproduce. Now you have a pasuk, and we call hachai. What is the aspect of hachai? So we already know the animal can't be a trefa, and we call hachai says it also can't be a mechutzar eiver. Presume if we had a third pasuk, we might say it couldn't even be a regular bamum, right? And a fourth pasuk, we say we couldn't even have duke and shabayin, or something like that. That would be, methodologically, that's the way the Gemara would work. So now the Gemara says, so hanicha lamanda amar trefa yoledes, lamanda amar trefa yoledes, ma'ika lameimar. So you can't use lachayozera, it doesn't tell you anything about whether the animal is or isn't a trefa. So you need me kol hachai to teach you the minimum, the lowest level chiddush, so the lowest common denominator that the animal can't be a trefa, but maybe it can be a mechusar aver. So the Gemara says, Amar kra, itach. The Torah says, Tavo el ha-teva lachayos itach. With you, itach bidomin lach. In other words, they have to be like you also.
Not a trefa.
Not a trefa. In other words, because Noach wasn't the trefa. So the Gemara says, V'duma Noach gufe trefa have. So the Gemara says, Tamim ksibbe. Ish tzadik tamim. So tamim means you're not a balmum. And a trefa is worse than a balmum. Right, a balmum can live a long, happy life. Just can't be brought as a carbon. Maybe that'll make the animal even happier. But, presumably he'd like to be a sacrifice to his maker. But, a trefa can't survive. So, if Noach has a tumim, then how can you say he's a trefa? So the Gemara says, Dilma tumim bidrachav. Maybe tumim doesn't refer to his physical existence, it refers to his spiritual existence. So the Gemara says, no, tzadik sivbe. Ish tzadik. Tamim haya b'dorasav. So we already know that he was spiritually intact because it says tzaddik, so tamim must be his physical well-being. So the Gemara says, no, dilma tamim b'drachav v'tzaddik b'masav. Now, this is a very, very interesting line. What?
It's like the homiletics. Kind
of. Oh, this is a beautiful homiletics. The question is, what does the Gemara mean by this? So here, I wanted to suggest something al pi drush, but Rashi sort of preempted me already. When you look earlier in the Gemara, when you look, turn back, if you keep your finger here for a moment, okay, and you turn to Daf Vav Amud Aleph, the top two Rashis, the top line. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means, firstly, the Gemara's response is, maybe Tumim and Tzadik both refer to Noach's spiritual state, but one is Drachav and one is Masav. if you want to think about, by the way, this word pair, Tzadik Hashem, Bechol Drachav, Bechasid Bechol Masav. So what does that mean? What's the difference between Drachav and Ma'asav? Now, often we say Darko Shoploni means his habit. What does he do? So Rashi writes on the top of Vamam Aleph, Tamim Midrachav, Anav Ushval Ruach. He was humble. Tzadik b'ma'asav, below Hamas. He didn't commit acts of dishonesty, of violence. Hamas means gazelle. So I would just suggest, and I think that's what sort of Rashi's driving at, is that in Torah we have two concerns about a person. The first concern is what you do and what you don't do. When you don't do the things you should do, when you do things that you shouldn't do, and so on. But there's a second level, which is the question of purification of character. Obviously, bad character often leads to bad deeds, but a person could theoretically have bad character, but restrain oneself when it comes to doing things. So it could be, the Gemara suggests, that what Noah was, number one, he was of pure character, and two, maybe as a result of that, he was of good deeds as well. So the Gemara says, you can't learn from Tzadik and Tamim. You can't say Tzadik teaches you all of the spiritual aspects of Noach, and therefore Tamim is available to teach you that Noach wasn't a Trefa nor a Balmum, but rather, both of them may refer to Noach's spiritual perfection, and therefore, maybe Noach was a Trefa, and how do you know that Itach, Domin Lo, maybe an animal was a Trefa? So the Gemara says...
So then you need Chai. So then Chai is not free to teach you.
So in other words, then you need Umikol HaChai to teach you that Trefa, that he couldn't bring a Trefa in, and it's not available to teach you that he shouldn't bring a Mechusar Eiver in. So the Gemara says as follows, Lomotzis Amrish de Noach Gufa Trefa Hava. You can't say that Noach was a Trefa. It's a very kind of interesting proof. The Isal Kadaitach Trefa Hava, Amalei Rachmana de Kavasach Ayel, Shlemin Lota Ayel. Now, if the Torah tells us lachayos itoch, that Noah was told to bring in animals that were like him in terms of their physical state, so if Noah was a trefa, he was a mitzvah to bring in a trefa and not to bring in whole animals. That's ridiculous. So, if the Torah, in fact, is trying to communicate to us that Noah was told to bring animals in a physical state similar to his physical state, obviously Noah must have been not a trefa, and he was being told you may not bring trefas into the ark. Fine, so now we know Lachayos Itach teaches you that Noach wasn't supposed to bring a trefa, and therefore we can use him, Mikol Chai, to teach you that he wasn't allowed to bring in something that was a balmum either. So now the Gemara says, but Hashta Denafka Meitach, Lachayos Zera Lamali. Why do you have to tell us Lachayos Zera? Because you're not bringing in a trefa. Even if you held that a trefa cannot reproduce, nonetheless, Noach couldn't bring in a trefa because it wasn't similar to Itach, it wasn't like him. So why do you need the pasuk of lachayozera? So the Gemara says, "Ime itach havamina letzvasa ba'alma." It should keep him company. I guess you want to make sure it would live the entire year that they were being judged for the mabul, and a trefa normally doesn't live 12 months. Afilu zaken, afilu saris. But you could bring an animal that was old, or saris that had been castrated. Kamash manan lachayozera. So even though it might be that a trefa could be yoledes, nonetheless you can't bring in a trefa because Noach was told lachayos itach bedomin lach, and Noach wasn't the trefa. And then lachayos zera is used to teach you it had to be an animal that could reproduce, so he shouldn't bring in a zaken or a saris. And a mikol achai is available to teach you the din of Rabbi Elazar that ben Noach is not allowed to bring a mechusar eiver. As a carbon, and therefore, if you shech the mechusar eiver to avodah zarah, on the assumption, I'll add, that it's not normal to worship that avodah zarah with the mechusar eiver, you're not chayav misa for it because it is neither derech avodasa bekach, nor is it ke'ein penim.
Does that go back then to the original statement about it being
pater? Yeah, he's pater. It's not mutter. That should be taken as a given. You know, worshiping, it is a losase, but it means he's pater from misa. Okay, Amar Rabbi Lazar, minayin l'shochet behema l'markulis shehu chayev. How do you know if you shecht an animal to Mercury, Chaim? Remember, shechting to Mercury is not a normal way of worshiping it. The answer is Shenemar, v'lo yizbechu od ha-ziv chayhem la-si'irim. Now that pasuk is actually taken from the parsha of Shchutei Chutz. It's a parsha that I've always thought isn't very, very not well known. Achweibos is a parsha that is very much read, because we read it not only for the parsha, but we read almost all of the Yom Kippur. But unfortunately, I mean, it is, we leave out the middle chapter. We read the whole first chapter of Avodah Yom Kippurim. We read basically almost the entire last chapter, which is the parsha of the Arayas. But the parsha in between that talks about a few very important dinim. Number one, not in order. Kisei Hadam, the obligation to cover the blood of an animal that you shecht, if it's a chaya or an oaf, not a behema. The prohibition, or a number of the repetitions of the Isser of Dam, are there. There's a very interesting din, which you wouldn't realize unless you had Rashi, reading with Rashi. There's something called Nivlas Ov, the din of Nivlas Ov Tohar Bebeis Habliya, which is if an animal dies, a kosher, non-kosher animal, if it dies without Shechita, non-kosher animal, doesn't matter how it dies, it conveys Tumah. Tumas Nevela. If you touch it, you carry it, it conveys Tumah. Birds that die do not convey Tumah. There's only one way a bird conveys Tumah when it dies, and that is if you eat a kazayas from a bird, which is a kosher bird, which if you did shechita on, you would have been allowed to eat, but instead the bird was killed or died. When the kazayas is in your throat, when you are swallowing it, at that very moment you become tame, and anything you're touching at the moment becomes tame.
It's really young, like one day tame.
What's that? It's a single day tame, yes. But so is nevela. If you touch a dead cow, which you'd have shechita, you're also tame for a day. It's called tumas beis ablia. If you ever encounter this, you're learning something, that's what it's referring to, and it's like two psukim at the end of this little perek in the middle of a parsha Achamos, perek yudzai. Now, the topic that the chapter opens with is actually the parsha of Shchutei Chutz. The halacha is that if you have an animal which is a karban, you're obligated to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash. Up before the Beis HaMikdash was built, and when Mishkan Shiloh wasn't standing, and when there was no Mishkan in the Midbar, you were allowed to bring a sacrifice on a bama. A bama is basically a private mizbeach. But when there was a Mishkan in the Midbar, Mishkan Shiloh, and once the first Beis HaMikdash was built, we paskin forever, bamos were prohibited. And worship of God in the sacrificial form can only take place in the Mikdash. If you shecht an animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that is a karban, that is suitable to bring inside, you are chayiv kares for doing so. If you do it b'shogeg, you bring a karban chatas. If you throw the blood of an animal, shchutei chutz, you're chayiv kares. If you burn it on an altar or in any form, you are chayiv kares. That is the prohibition of what's known as shchutei chutz. Now, one of the interesting questions the Gemara is going to deal with is...
Just one question on that. Mm-hmm. How did... It's a rabbinic law that after the Mishkan, you can't do it outside on a bama.
No, it's assumed to be midoraisa.
What's the construction then?
The construction is that neither the Mishkan in the Midbar or the Mishkan in Shiloh were intended to be the permanent dwelling place of God. They were interim stages. Chazal probably darshan el ha-menucha in Parshas Re'eh, el ha-menucha ve'el ha-nachala. So Rashi probably writes, menucha is Shiloh, and ve'el ha-nachala is the Mikdash. And that's in the Parsha of the obligation of bringing your stuff to the place of central worship. Once is a permanent home of God.
Got it.
So then it is you're never allowed to bring outside. There is, I don't know if it's tied, it is tied probably to the issue, the question of whether or not Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha L'Shaita V'Kiddusha L'Asalavo, or Kiddusha L'Shaita V'Lo Kiddusha L'Asalavo. The first, the Kiddusha, the first time around, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, and when they built the first Beis HaMikdash, was Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael and Kiddushas HaMikdash permanent, and anything that was done later was really only ceremonial, or did the first Kiddusha become undone when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the people were exiled to Bavel? And then when Ezra came back and he did his whole ritual, they did a ritual. It's machlokas whether the ritual was really needed or not. When Ezra came back and they were mekadesh the Beis HaMikdash, the Azaras, and the Yerushalayim again, was that really needed or not? You know, was that just a fake ceremony? So it's a machlokas in the Gemara. The Rambam happens to paskin that Kiddusha Rishona Kitcha l'shaita v'lo kitcha l'asavo on Eretz Yisrael. But kedusha shniyah was eternal. But the Rambam says that the kedushas mikdash for Shlomo came Shlomo Melech was permanent, even though Eretz Yisrael wasn't. And he says the reason why is because the reason why Eretz Yisrael was kadosh the first time around because of kibush, because we conquered it by force. So when we were conquered by force, it became unkadosh. But the Beis HaMikdash became kadosh because of the Shechina, and the Rambam says in a very powerful statement, Shechina lo betela. The Shechina is never betela, and that's why the Kedusha of the Mikdash the first time around was permanent, and that's why the Mishnayis, if you want to read the historical progression, it's the Mishnayis, and I think in the last 14th parak of Zvachim, lists, you know, the different stages of where the when you had a Mishkan in the Midbar, then you had the Mishkan was set up temporarily in Gilgal, where Yeshua camped, but then eventually they got to Shiloh, but Shiloh was destroyed, so it was Nov and Givon until Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. So it's in the Mishnayis, just laid out in the 14th parak of I think it's the 13th or 14th parak of Zvachim. The last two parakim of Zvachim deal with all the laws of Shechutei Chutz. So basically, today, to designate a karbon and bring it as a karbon, you're chayiv karis for doing so. If you do it b'shogeg, you're now chayiv a karbon chatas, which obviously you can't bring now, because you can't bring a karbon now, because we're not allowed to bring on bamos. You have to wait till the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. The interesting question the Gemara deals with is, what happens it's not relevant today. Let's say you umakdash an animal when there was heter bamos. And as before Shlomo Melech built the mikdash, you umakdash an animal. And now the mikdash's building was finished, and you bring it outside. Is that Shechutei Chutz as well? So I mention that because it's going to come up here. So the Gemara just suggested, Rabbi Lozer wants to say that the source that if you shecht an animal lemarkulis yechayim is because in the parsha of Shechutei Chutz in Achrimos, the Torah gives the reason why. Why is it that you're not allowed to do what you do until you had a mishkan to shecht everywhere? It says leman yaviu bnei Yisrael azivchehem asher heim zovchim al panei asadeh veviyum lashem el pesach al moed. And then the Torah continues, and as it says that they no longer should bring it on the face of the field, but rather they bring it to the Ol Moed, and it says, "V'lo yizbechu od ezivchehem." They shall no longer slaughter their sacrifices. Lasi'irim asher heim zonim achariyim, to the spirits or the demons that they are straying after. In other words, it's part of a gzeira against avodah zarah. Right, the centralization of worship means that when you bring a karbon, you bring it in the mikdash to Hashem and not to any other god. It's not that. Again, it's Shechutei Chutz Yuchayev on, even though you bring it Lashem. But the reason for the prohibition is Lasirim Asherim is Veloyiz Bechod Azivchehem Lasirim Asherim Zonim Acharehem. So Rabbi Lazar says that this pasuk Veloyiz Bechod Azivchehem Lasirim, that pasuk is extra. He claims it's used to teach you that Yuchayev when you shecht an animal to avodah zarah. Even though it's not normal to sacrifice animals, to slaughter animals to the avodah zarah, im eino inyan lekedarka. If you don't need the pasuk to tell you the prohibition of slaughtering an animal to avodah zarah in a case where that's the normal way of worshiping, and why not? Because the Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, "Dechsiv eicha yavdu hagoyim ha'ele es Elohim ve'esa kem gamoni." Lo sasun kein l'Hashem Elokechem. So there the Torah warns the Parshas Re'eh, you come into Eretz Yisrael, you see the word goy worship avodah zarah, you say, you know, I'll do that too, just like they do that. So the Torah says, no, lo sasun kein l'Hashem Elokechem, you're not allowed to do that. So that's the prohibition, the warning against worshipping an avodah zarah, kidarka, the way that avodah zarah is normally worshipped. Therefore, v'lo yisbechur zivchayarem, lasi'irim, asherim zonim acharehem, must teach you that you're not, that you're chayiv when you sacrifice an animal to an avodah zarah, where it's not normal to sacrifice an animal that way, including mercury, which the only way you normally worship it is by throwing stones at it. So now the Gemara says, wait, v'ha, so if it's not inyan that, t'neyu inyan l'shaloka darka. This is very classic of the Gemara style of drasha. If you have an extra pasuk, because you already know the din, so you use the pasuk for something else. So in this case, the truth is it's not a crazy use of the pasuk, because it's an unusual din, for starters, right? Normally, the Torah doesn't tell us the reason for most of its dinim. In very specific terms. But here it seems Shechutei Chutz is a prohibition because you come to worship Avodah Zarah, even though it's prohibited on its own, even though it's not Avodah Zarah. But then the Torah says, V'lo yizbechu od azivchehem lasirim Hashem zonachareim. It sounds like the way I would have read Pshat in the Psukim was, it's not a prohibition, V'lo yizbechu od. You know what V'lo yizbechu od is? How would you translate, they should bring the sacrifices to God, V'lo yizbechu od azivchehem lasirim? I would have translated, so that they don't. And continue to bring their sacrifices to the demons. But Rabbi Lazar's darshin, no, it's a separate prohibition. You should bring it to God, the sacrifices that you used to bring anywhere in the field. And, in addition, so that's how he's darshaning. So the Gemara says, wait, once you're going to do that, it's not, the pasuk's not available. It's not free. It's not extra. You need it for the following. Adkan hu medaber, until up until this point in the parasha of Shechut Echutz, Adkan hu medaber bikodshim shehekdishan b'shas iser habamos v'hikrivan b'shas iser habamos. So up until this pasuk, we've been talking about people who take a karban that was dedicated, consecrated, when it was asr to bring an abama, and they brought it when it was asr to bring an abama. Sharei on shan amor, this punishment is spelled out. Shenemar ve'al pesach ol moed lo hevio v'nichrisa, right? The person will be cut off. So onesh shamanu, we have a pasuk that tells you the onesh, the punishment of kares for someone who slaughtered an animal which was a karban dedicated b'shas iser bamos and slaughtered b'shas iser bamos. Onesh shamanu, but ashara minayin. How do you know? Where does the Torah warn you against doing it? Talmud lomar pen ta'ale olosecha b'chol makom asher tireh. In Parshas Re'eh, where the Torah is also speaking about the centralization of worship, it says, you know, lest you bring your olos anywhere you see fit. Now, is that a losase? It doesn't say don't bring your olos. It says pen tala losecha. Ah, but the Gemara says uchad Rabbi Abin Amrav Ila. The Amrabi Abin Amrav Ila kol malkom shenamar hishamer pen va'al eno ela belosase. Now, let me just explain the background for this a little bit also. In order to get malkos for violating something the Torah tells you not to do, so we say that it has to be lav dumia de chasima. If any of you are doing daf yomi, I'm not exactly where the daf is, but you're probably in the middle of the sugya approximately. It's in the third parak of Makos. It has to be similar to the lav of chasima. What is the lav of chasima? Well, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisetze, it has the parsha of Malkos, v'ayayim bin hakos harasha, v'hi pilo ha-shofet yikol lofanav kedei reshaseo b'mispar, etc. And then, the next pasuk is lo sachsom shor b'disha. When you thresh with an ox, you're not allowed to muzzle it so that it won't eat. So the Gemara assumes, the way we assume, is that in order to get lashes, in order to get malchus for a lav, it has to be similar to the lav de chasima. And there are generally at least four features that we identify with that. Number one, it has to be a lav sheish bo maisa. It has to be something where you do something, not where you refrain from doing something which the Torah tells you not to refrain from. It has to be a lav which is not nitak laseh. It can't be fixed with an aseh. For example, leaving over meat to become nosar from a karban. You burn it in the morning. It's a mitzvah saseh to burn it. So one of the reasons that you don't get malchus for leaving the meat of the korban overnight is because it's nitak laseh. It's fixed by an aseh afterwards. Then is also a principle, a lav shebechlalos. If it's a lav that's very broad and includes multiple isurim, which are not, especially if they're not related, that you don't get malchus on it. Losasam shor is a very specific, narrow lav. And finally, it has to be a lav. It can't be a lav haba bechlal aseh. What is a lav haba mechlal aseh? For example, most Rishonim say, the mitzvah aseh of taking interest from a non-Jew when you lend to him, la nochri sashich, most Rishonim say, it's a mitzvah, the Sifrei, the Medrash Halach and Dvarim says, zo mitzvah aseh, la nochri sashich. But most Rishonim say, there's no mitzvah to take interest from a guy when you lend him. If you don't want to take interest from a guy when you lend the money, it's perfectly fine. La nochri sashich is a reinforcement of not taking interest from a Jew. In other words, from a guy you may take interest, but never from a Jew. So that's called the lav haba bechlal aseh, because it's formulated in the positive. How is a lav normally formulated in the Torah? The standard formulation is low. But what happens when you have other kind of negative words? The most obvious one being al, or pen, or hishamer. So Rab Abin Amar of Ila said, whenever it says hishamer upen v'al, eno ela belotase. And that's called the language of lav. So pen tale olosecha is to be read as lo tale olosecha. It's a lav. So that serves as the warning against shechting an animal bachutz. And the Gemara says, an animal which was consecrated when you weren't allowed to sacrifice outside in the Mikdash, and then subsequently the punishment will be in Bayikra, in Achrimos, when you're punished, when you get kares, that's because you went ahead and brought it. So the Torah has both an ashara, a warning, and an onesh. Ah, but the Gemara says, so mikan ve, that's up until now. We spoke about kodshim shehikdishan b'shasis rabamos ve'kriva b'shasis rabamos. But now the Gemara says mikan ve'elach, the end of this parsha, who medaber b'kodshim shehikdishan b'shas heter rabamos. When you consecrated it, you were allowed to bring it outside of the mikdash, and then the mikdash got built ve'kriva b'shasis rabamos. You waited, and now you brought it. Shenemar leman asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael azivchayhem asherhem zovchim. So the Gemara says, "Shehitarti lecha kvar al pnei hasadeh." In other words, what does it mean? The sacrifice is that they are sacrificing in the field. So the Gemara says, the sacrifice is that they had permission to sacrifice in the field. Namely, they were makdish them when there was no Beis HaMikdash. And what is the din of these things? You're not allowed to bring them in the field. Why not? Because the Beis HaMikdash got built, and now it's b'shas isur bamos. Melamed, even though you consecrated it before the Beis HaMikdash was built, before there was an Isser, it's as if you brought it outside, meaning it's like Shchutei Chutz, but we'll see, not exactly. Now, that's the continuation of the Pasuk, they shall bring them to God, that's a mitzvah saseh, to bring an animal that was consecrated b'shas heter bamos, to bring it now in the Beis HaMikdash once the Beis HaMikdash was built. Umitzvas lo sase minayin. What's the negative prohibition? The answer is, Talmud Lomar, velo yizbechu od ezif chayhem. That's the pasuk that Rabbi Lazar wanted to use to show that you chayim misa for worshipping Avodah Zarah with shechita, even if it's not normal. So the Gemara here says, wait, no. We need that pasuk to tell you, alotase, for an animal that was consecrated, bishas isur heter abamos, that if the Beis HaMikdash is then built, there's a lav of now bringing that outside of the Mikdash. Now, yocho yei anush kares, you might think you're also chayiv kares. In this case, Talmud Lomar, chukas olam tiyat zos lohem, by the kares, where the Torah says you get kares, it says, this will be an eternal law. This will be an eternal law for them. Zos lahem, v'lo acheres lahem. Even though there's a mitzvah saseh to bring that animal inside the mikdash. Namely, that animal which was consecrated before the mikdash was built. B'shas heter bamos. Even though there's a mitzvah saseh now to bring it inside the mikdash. And even though there's a lotaseh prohibiting bringing it outside the mikdash, there is no kares. There's only kares on an animal that was consecrated and sacrificed outside the mikdash when there was a mikdash from through the entire process. For our purposes, coming back to our Gemara, the question is, what's the source for saying that you're chayiv misa for worshipping Avodah Zarah with shechita when it's not normal to worship that with shechita? We need this pasuk for shechutei chutz of an animal which was consecrated b'shas heter bamos, that you're not allowed to bring it outside the mikdash once they build it. Amar Rava, kri bei velo yisbechu, kri bei velo od. He says the word ode is extra, and therefore the fact that you have the extra word ode allows you to darshan two things from it. You can, number one, from this learn that an animal that was consecrated b'shas heter bamos, you're not allowed to bring it outside the mikdash if the mikdash has been built in the interim. And number two, you learn the prohibition of sacrificing to the se'irim, of bringing any animal through zvicha, through slaughtering, to another god, and therefore someone who worships Markulus or any Avodah Zarah, even though it's not normal to worship that Avodah Zarah with Shechita, nonetheless, the person is Chayiv Misa. Shechita is treated the same way as an Avodah, which is normal for that Avodah Zarah. Yes? Question? Okay. I think maybe we will stop here. I thought we were going to get... You see the Mishnah? We've already read the Mishnah, but we'll read it again next week. And so we'll start with that and begin with the Sugya there.